Hi, welcome to the podcast with Tim Andrews. This week we're talking comedy. That's right, I have two comedians on the show. One I know quite well and have known for a number of years, but the first one is an interesting story. He's 30 years old, which means he's really young to me. He's very young, because I'm old. His name is Mario Adrian. He is currently in the middle of his German efficiency tour. We're going to ask him if he's going to be anywhere close to Atlanta. You might remember Mario from his iconic comedy performance, challenging Katy Perry to a catwalk battle on American Idol. That's where he wore the Speedo, and it was quite funny. It was also featured on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Mario is a stand-up comedian, YouTuber, and former male fashion model. See, I'm jealous already. Upon retiring from modeling, Mario turned to social media, where he gained 2 million followers, posting vlogs and comedy clips all over the place. He's on TikTok. He's on everything, and we'll get to that later. So, stick around. Comedy night later on in the show. Michael Albanese from Atlanta, now living up in New York City, just had another successful Red Clay Comedy Festival down here in town. We'll talk a little bit about that and also what he's doing in the podcasting world and the comedy world. But first, Mario. Mario, welcome. You're currently in the middle of your German efficiency tour and appearing all over the United States. I see a bunch of Florida dates, so I have to ask, since we're on an Atlanta radio station right now, when are you going to be in Atlanta?
I'm planning some dates right now. I want to go. I have a lot of friends in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I think it's the coolest sounding city in America, Atlanta. You know, as a German, I just want to go and explore as many cities as possible.
Atlanta. German is a hard accent for me to replicate. I do a lot of voices, but I can't.
You did it, though. That was good.
So good.
You just sound a little bit more gay. I think that's the vibe a little bit. Like, hallo, I'm a German. Yeah, a little bit like this, you know.
Oh.
I think this is good, yeah.
Die Sonne scheint, meine Nase ist kalt.
You speak German.
I don't. I just a little bit. I had a girlfriend in college who spoke fluent German, so I learned some things like, the nose thing. She was always cold. Meine Nase ist kalt. Meine Nase ist warm.
So funny.
That'll get me through if I go to Germany. I know. Hey, you know.
We can talk. You have a cold nose. It's surprising. Was she in Atlanta?
No.
Usually it's pretty hot there, right?
No, I'm from Pennsylvania, so it was up in the north.
Got it.
And
that makes more sense.
Lutheran family, so, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, well, good. We hope to get you here. Have you played here before? Have you done any shows here?
Yeah, I have, at the City Winery in Atlanta.
Oh, that's...
But only was like free for one day or something.
Yeah.
Definitely want to stay longer next time.
There's a couple of good clubs. There's the Punchline. There's also the Laughing Skull. The Punchline's in Sandy Springs. It's in a Greek deli, or a Greek diner, so there's going to be huge pieces of cake.
Oh, my God. I love diners. I always tell people this. Like, as a German, we have this, like, romanticism about diners.
Yeah.
Because we grew up watching these American movies, like Grease, where you have, like, you know, like John Travolta walks in and they fall in love at a diner and they have like a milkshake. And that's the fantasy we have. And I think I feel about diners like you guys feel when you go to Europe and you see a castle. Like, I go to Denny's and I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. You know, it's original diner so much. You know, it's so nostalgic.
That's so great. Comparing a castle, like something we don't have here, to a Denny's. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have diners in Germany. It's all like, you know, bratwurst and whatnot, but we have tons of castles. I'm going to get married next year. We just confirmed a date in June at a castle in Germany. And there's like, in my hometown, there's like, you know, in a 45-minute radius, there's like five castles. So it's not that special.
Okay.
But diners,
yeah,
hard to find. So hard to find in Germany.
Castles in Germany are like... castles in Germany are like, gosh, what are they like? They're like McDonald's here. But you grew up in Germany, right? You left when you were 18?
Yeah, 18, 19 or something that I first came to America.
One of the first generations to grow up in a completely unified Germany.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's
amazing. I mean, my parents lived through it. David Hasselhoff was the symbol of Germany's reunification in like the 90s. That was what, do you know about this? Like,
didn't he stand on the wall?
American.
Yeah, he did. He stood
he
on
did.
The wall and did a concert or something, I imagine.
Yeah, because he's like, I grew up watching Knight Rider. That's one of the few American TV shows that I watched as a kid that was dubbed.
Right.
And because I think he talks to a car, right? He has this car in Knight Rider he talks to.
Yes.
And that's just such a German, all Germans, we love cars. So that's just like, it just perfectly fit the German audience, you know?
Right.
And he became, yeah, the symbol of freedom and, you know, America and the West and all that. So, yeah, absolutely.
See, he's a joke here. I grew up watching Knight Rider every Friday, and I thought he was the coolest guy ever. But as you get older, you're like, okay, this guy's a singer. Get out of here. Come on. But he's huge in Germany. Jerry Lewis, huge in France. So, you know, you Europeans find interesting Americans to latch on to.
Yeah, and then there's Europeans who are more famous in America than in their home country. Like Rammstein, it's a German like metal band.
Oh, yeah.
They're huge in America. Not as big in Germany, I think. They tour all over here, and even in South America, they're big. It's interesting sometimes.
Du hast.
Yeah. Du hast mich, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I went to karaoke the other day with my wife, and she's an amazing singer. And I always feel bad because I can't sing as well. So it was my friend's birthday, and there was a couple of kids around, and they're like, "Mario, you should sing a song." And I genuinely can't sing. I also don't know a lot of American songs. So they were like, "Oh, sing me a German song." And the only song I knew the lyrics to was "Du hast" by Rammstein. So I'm at this karaoke party, a bunch of kids standing around. They're like, "Oh, Uncle Mario is going to sing you a German song." And then I'm just like, du hast mich gefragt und ich hab nichts gesagt. It's just the most aggressive sounding song.
What are the two biggest hits that were in German in the 80s? 99 Luftballons and
The Luftballons,
Der Kommissar. There's also an obscure Frank Zappa song called Meek, du miserable Horizon.
Wow, that's very graphic.
It's a very graphic. So I can't sing it in English or I'll get kicked
it's
off.
So funny. 100%. You can swear on radio in German, though. It's fine, I think.
Sprechen auch. Do you like Zappa? Did you ever listen to any Zappa?
I don't know if, because I was born in the 90s.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a little, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's obscure. Old enough. He loved German. He loved to sing in German. He has another song about a sofa that he sings mostly in German. But I'll let you check
that already.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you're on this huge tour, and you just started doing stand-up, what, 4 years ago?
4 years ago I did my first like open mic at Second City in L.A.
Yeah.
But I moved to L.A. in 2020, in February, meaning like, you know, a couple of weeks before the pandemic. So I started stand-up and then basically stopped for a year and a half. So now for the past 3 years, I've been doing it pretty much full-time, going to New York a lot, traveling a lot. I was featuring. That's when I went to Atlanta, too.
Yeah.
Loving it.
Did you go into the open mic scene? Were you grinding it out every night? Or did you get the confidence to go out there and do it from the career that you had previous, which was being a fashion model?
No, I did like the whole open mind grind. And, you know, having been a fashion model, sometimes it's difficult because, like, being good looking is not an advantage in comedy.
No.
It sometimes works, you know, disadvantage even. Especially when I go on stage often, especially when it's a lot of, like, a room for, like, gay men usually like me. Women, you know, don't mind me. But a lot of straight guys, they see me and their first instinct is that they don't want to like me. So I have to go on stage and just make sure to tell them that, you know, I go, listen, I know I look like a douchebag, you know, but I'm not.
Right.
I'm a nice guy. I know what I look. So I almost have to apologize for my looks so that people can trust me and know that I'm a real human being, and then I can get into comedy. So,
Yeah, you have to do that because that is the thing. If a guy's out on a date with his girlfriend or wife at a comedy club and the comedian is super hot, she's not only she going to laugh, this guy's funnier than me, he's better looking than me, I can see from his pants that he's more equipped than I am. How am I going to compete with that? But, you know, you get a schlubby guy coming out and you're like, okay, I can work with this guy, we can both laugh. So, no one ever thinks about how difficult it is for you, the good-looking comedian.
Thank you. No, thank you for raising awareness for, you know, a 6'3" white, handsome guy in America. I think people don't talk about the struggle enough.
It is.
That I'm going through.
Yes.
As a minority.
Yes.
So funny. No, dude, sometimes even I did a show in Texas and this dude came up to me and he was like, "Hey, bro, listen, I really like your set, but I'll be honest, I didn't want to like you at first because you just look like the kind of guy who would sleep with my girlfriend." He told me this. And I was like, listen, I would never do that. You know, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm a nice guy. I'm married, you know.
Right.
I mean, I could probably, but I'm not going to because, you know, I'm a sweetheart. So,
Have you gone back and done stand-up in Germany? And how has it been received?
No, I have not.
No?
I have not. I started here. I'm applying for my green card right now, so I can't leave. the US, but once I can, I'm planning to take the German efficiency tour back to the Vaterland, you know. I'm just curious about how it would translate, because my first language is obviously German, but I kind of learned comedy in English, comedic timing. A lot of my material is about me and my perspective on America as a German. So, yeah, also Germans don't laugh. I'm a little nervous about that, doing comedy in Germany to an audience that does not emote.
It doesn't have a big stand-up scene, Germany?
Well, it's getting there, but traditionally, I mean, stand-up is definitely an American thing.
Right.
It originated here. Now, Germany's always a couple of years behind now because stand-up is so big in the U.S. There are more German comedians. There's a big English-speaking scene in Berlin because it's very international. But yeah, traditionally, I don't know, we have more cabaret, which is more political, and they have more characters. They do more like monologues, more like a late-night kind of... you know, political humor, that's more common in Germany. A lot of stuff's very political.
Right.
But a traditional stand-up, that's just a guy, a real person sharing his perspective, like all the big comedians now in the U.S., it's not that common in Germany.
Who knew that stand-up comedy was not common in Germany? We just found that out. I'm speaking with comedian Mario Adria, and more with him when we return. You're listening to The Popcast with Tim Andrews on 95.5 WSB. And welcome back to the podcast with your host, Tim Andrews, from the Von Hessler Doctrine. That's me. And my conversation continues with comedian Mario Adrian, a German comedian who's making his way across the United States on his German efficiency tour.
I want to clarify, though. Like, we're Germans, we have a sense of humor. We just don't laugh. I think that's it. Like, we find things funny, but we don't emote. You know, Germans, you can tell a German the funniest joke in the world, but he's just not going to laugh. He's going to be like, oh, is this a very funny joke? Yeah. But we're not going to laugh, because I think we don't laugh because it's very energy inefficient to show emotions. So we just take the energy and we use it to make better cars instead. Right? That's, I think, why the Germans, we don't laugh. It'll be fine. We have a sense of humor. We just don't show emotions at all.
Great cars. And traditionally, and for generations and generations, being in the middle of Europe, so I imagine you're taking culture from the East and taking culture from the West and making your own thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my hometown is 20 minutes from the French border, very close to Strasbourg. Mm-hmm. I'm from a small town called Alpiersbach im Hochschwarzwald, if you want to look it up.
Yeah, okay.
Great honeymoon spot, yeah.
Yes.
Everything's so close. That's what I'm saying. Like, Switzerland is like 30 minutes away. Even Czech Republic, I can just, you know, you have so many different influences in Europe.
We get so many weird news stories over here, and everything is from an American perspective, of course. Has the Eurozone removed identity from nations that were there, or is that overblown and there's still a lot of cultural, national type of culture existing, whether it be France, Germany, Sweden, England, countries like that?
Well, it depends which country. We Germans don't really, because of our history, like, we don't have a lot of national pride because we used to have a little bit too much.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different story.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, I think there's no real European identity, in my opinion, at least not in Germany. I think it's pretty much like their own. There's a lot of separate countries. I would think, like, especially Swiss people would consider themselves Swiss. There is a little bit about a cultural, like, overlap, but also Europe, it's so big. It's also questionable. You know, Turkey is part of Europe. It's kind of not. Russia, same thing. So in my opinion, there's not really like a European identity. The only time we see like German flags is when you have like when the World Cup is happening.
Right.
But even then, I'm afraid to. I watched the World Cup here in the U.S. and, you know, Germany scored a goal in the last second. I was like, yes, Tor für Deutschland. And I just like I just had to stop because it just sounds, as a German, anything you say that's like instead of Germany just sounds inherently bad. So I had to stop myself and be like, hey, listen, guys, I'm German, but I'm not that German. Okay, I'm like, I'm a nice one. Yeah.
Yes. Once Gen X is gone, though, you don't have to worry about it anymore. We're the last generation that knows anything about it. So don't worry. It's going to
be cool. Cool.
You can take pride in about 20 years. You can be the most proud German on the face of the earth.
Gen Z people don't know. Education is a little, that's one thing I noticed in America is like, the general education here is definitely much more focused on America. So when we grew up, like, you know, in history class, we learned like world history, essentially. You know, we learned about the American Civil War, Declaration of Independence. We learned about, you know, French Revolution, all this stuff. Whereas I feel like in America, there's not as much of a general understanding of the world. So
I had a whole ton of questions written, like a typical type of interview type of thing. But this has been such a fun conversation, so I'm glad it went the way that it did.
Yeah.
But we have to knock some things out. Mario Adrian, that's Mario, ADRION.com is the website. Or on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok, you're all the same, right? At Mario Adrian.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to talk before I let you go. I know you got a busy day, but you do such great YouTube videos. Now, did that begin before your comedy, or did it come afterwards? And is it a great supplement to your stand up?
That all started before comedy.
Okay.
When I was modeling, I realized that modeling was very one dimensional because I can only, you know, put on my blue steel look and be ridiculously good looking.
Yes.
And I just wanted to do something else creatively.
Yeah.
So I started like a more of a travel vlog. I made my first video as titled What Really Happens at New York Fashion Week, where I walked around with my camera and I did it not to get views or make this a career. I made the video simply to have a memory. I wanted to make a video that I can show my grandkids when I'm older. I'm like, hey, I used to be a model. Look at what, Grandpa Mario did.
Yes.
And then I put it on YouTube and it blew up. You know, people liked it. People liked the humor. It was very silly. I made fun of the fashion industry. And there weren't any male models doing content about the industry. So yeah, I built this whole YouTube channel. A lot of people asked me questions about my diet, about modeling. And I just made all these vlogs while I was modeling. And it was great because it gave me some autonomy, because in modeling, a lot of times you depend on other people giving you a job and you feel kind of powerless. So then I felt like I had a purpose and I can build something that's not just based on my looks, but based on my, you know, creativity, storytelling, and so on. Yeah.
You obviously have a gift for that, and you're obviously very funny. I want everybody to go check you out. Again, it's MarioAdrian.com. Wish we had more time, but I do look forward to when you come to Atlanta, and I hope I get to see you when you're here.
Absolutely. I'm planning on it.
All right, yeah. Mario. Thank you. Dankeschön.
Dankeschön. Yeah, bis später. Thank you so much.
Always wanted to learn how to speak German, but at this point, why bother? I know the things I need to know. Dankeschön, bitte schön, and, of course, meine Nase ist kalt. Meine Nase is not very cold, or is nicht cold, as they would say. But we are going to talk to another comedian. Coming up next on the podcast, comedian Michael Albanese, who just finished up doing the Red Clay Comedy Tour in Atlanta. We're going to find out what's next for him and how life's going in New York City. Don't go away. It's the podcast with Tim Andrews on 95.5 WSB. Welcome back to the podcast. My other comedian is on the line right now waiting to come on. This is a comedy show. We're doing comedy. I'm not doing comedy. I'm not really qualified or capable of doing that kind of comedy, but that's why there are stand-up comedians. And joining me right now, fresh off of a very successful Red Clay Comedy Festival. I don't know which one it was, so I'll have to ask him. Michael Albanese, how are you, my friend?
Timothy Andrews. It was the ninth year.
Ninth festival. And one year, I actually recorded my podcast there with Greg Russ.
Yeah, and the 10th year next year, I will be jumping into traffic. So that makes it all work out.
Perfect, perfect. Now,
that's going to be the headliner set, is me just getting hit by a MARTA bus.
That'll be fun. Now, usually, and probably more, I don't know, properly would have been to have you on before the Red Clay so I could promote it. So next year, I want to make sure that we do that.
That's fine. We don't have to talk about it. I just love talking to you, pal.
Well, I love talking to you. We didn't get to chat enough. You stopped by the Von Hessler Doctrine on Monday kind of to catch up and just to see everybody. But, you know, you were quite essential in getting that show kicked off, weren't you?
Yeah, it was Eric, Greg, Autumn, and me. We were the original crew. And then after that summer, we did it for the summer. He had to kind of wind it down a little bit, like just try to change what he was doing. And it was right around the time I had contemplated moving to New York. And so I was like, all right, perfect timing. You got to do your thing. I'll just go ahead and take off. And so I still feel there's a little bit of resentment. I feel like Eric thinks that I left because he things were changing. And I always feel bad. But it was always in the back of my mind to move to New York. And his kind of timing happened to be right around the same time. So I love you, Eric. I know he doesn't listen.
No, you're absolutely right.
Anything.
He never listens. Even the ones he's been on, when I've had to pull
exactly.
him in as an emergency guest when people have canceled. But
right.
I think you and I first met, you were schlepping comics around. And that would have been either for the Funny Farm or for the Red Skull Comedy Lounge, right?
That was for the Improv.
Oh, and then the Improv, okay.
Yeah, back in like the last iteration of the regular guys. And then I started coming in alone. You and Eric would have me on alone, just come in and be like a comic. And then I got kicked out. I got banned from the studio at one point, and then that's when that's when I started working with Eric.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. I don't remember why you got banned from the studio.
Oh, I do.
Well, we don't need to rehash it. there was a lot of weird stuff that happened. One time I was in there filling in as the host, and it was just me, Eric, and Southside Steve. And both Greg Warren and Rich Voss showed up at the same time from competing clubs.
Shut up, stupid.
Yeah. Well, he got mad at me because I did an impression of him. Oh, that's what you're going to do? But he was making fun of me. So
yeah.
I said, well, you guys can both stay. And I was kind of a jerk before that. And so about a year ago, I interviewed Greg Warren on this show. And I asked him, do you remember him? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, you weren't that big of a D. So I was happy with that.
That's funny.
But I was telling you, I really like catching up with guys that I've always liked, like yourself. But I kind of went through this phase where I wouldn't pay attention to any comedy. So about 2013 was my last year of paying attention to comedy. So I had 11 years or 10 years to catch up. And there's all these new guys. And you're one of those new guys. You're touring and you're doing a lot of things. You produce your own comedy festival. How hard was it for you to get going in New York? Or did you just put your foot on the gas and go?
Well, I mean, everyone's going to have a learning curve moving there unless you're like already famous or like if you're a massive Instagram or TikTok star, you really don't have to do too much. But that'll phase out, like everything does. Like there's always like ebbs and flows with that. And some of those people are funny. Most of them aren't. Not the point. But they're going to be. It's difficult to move to New York and comedy is not the easiest game to play in. And you just have to be ready to hear no constantly over and over and over again for however long. And eventually those yeses will turn back into noes. It's always cyclical. Look at any comic that was huge, and then all of a sudden they're not, and they're like trying to figure it out. It's comedy is a game of just it's living through the valleys in order to get to the next peak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's always going to be lows, no matter how famous you get, and there's always going to be highs, and you just got to survive and figure out how to stay the course. That being said, for 6 months, I think I was going to bed at like 7 p.m., every day because I was so depressed because I moved with comedians and never saw them. You know what I mean? Like
right.
It was, we moved up there and found out our apartment wasn't ready. And we had a truck full of our stuff. We moved from Atlanta to New York. And then we had to like find a parking spot for this giant truck. And then I had to like call everyone I knew. I was couch surfing for like a week and a half, just waiting for this apartment to get ready. It was nuts.
Damn. And then you had to keep that truck, right?
Yeah, we had to rent the truck for. It was a disaster. I mean, it was the second I got up there, I should have turned right back around and gone home. Like that, it should have been a sign. But
well,
you survive. You figure it out. It's like even if you do great, like bookers change at clubs, and like you're in a club for a long time, and then you're out of the club, and then you're in a different club, and then that booker. It's just everything changes, man. It's a constant game of change.
And if you and I were talking on the other day when you were in the studio, I brought up a comedian that I was going to interview, and I had all these expectations for this guy because of his career before comedy. His name, Mario, right? I was talking to you about him. He's the German model guy. And I thought he was just going to be one of these young influencer, and this is what I did. But I asked him straight up, I go, did you do the open mic to stuff and go into all the clubs and working it out? And he said, yeah, that's how I got into it. He goes, I didn't just go from being a model to being a comic. And that surprised me. And again, that's my prejudice with people who are doing comedy now that are way younger, even younger than you. And I was pleasantly surprised that he just sounded like a comedian that I've been talking to for 25 years.
I think we got our lines crossed with who I was talking about. It's a different, I actually just looked him up today to make sure I knew what I was talking about. I was like, because I thought his name was Marco, and there's a different guy that I thought that's who you were talking about.
No.
Because I said, ooh, Marco? And you said Mario. And I was like, oh, that must be it. Like, I thought I had the name wrong. I don't know the guy you're talking about.
Mario
Adrian. He's probably done his.
He's nice.
Yeah, he's probably doing a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And very funny. And he says that there's not a big culture of stand-up in Germany, so that's pretty interesting. But the thing,
I wonder why.
Yeah, well, he kind of addresses that. But getting back to you for a minute, you are a part of the podcast universe where a lot of comics today
do a podcast, and if it's successful, like a lot of them are, or even mildly successful, you know, having your own podcast and being a part of that, you can completely bypass the old, well, I better go on a morning radio show thing, because all your fans know you're coming and they're going to be there anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like now instead of doing like the late show and the morning show rounds to promote an album, you just go do podcasts.
Right.
And you never have to touch like traditional media, which is a bummer because I really think like morning radio and like nighttime radio could be so popular again if these conglomerates that own all of them would just let people try. And it just seems to be they're just willing to stick the knife in the side of it. I don't know. It's a real bummer.
I think if the FCC would relax content restrictions, coupled with what you just said, it would really help, especially FM talk, because people are used to listening to podcasts who like that sort of thing. And I think older people like me that listen to podcasts grew up on talk radio, and it's just a natural
exactly.
evolution.
Yeah, yeah. I wish it was. That was my dream as growing up, as I wanted to be on radio.
Yeah, me too. What a mistake, right?
What idiots. Radio and comedy. What stupid career choices we made.
I can't think of anything I wanted to do other than this. I mean, I've done plenty, but I was listening to talk radio way before I should have been. I was in my, you know, I was like 9 or 10 years old listening to talk radio at night to go to sleep like a weird kid. And that's why I turned out.
I did
out
that a little bit. Art Bell, Coast to
yeah.
Coast.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to listen to that. My dad had one of those transmitters. You can get all these weird stations and just listen to them talk about the aliens. I mean, I didn't know it as a kid that the guy was nuts.
Right.
But as a kid, I was like, this guy's great.
Yeah.
He's talking all kinds of weird stuff.
The Hole to Hell. That one was great ghost stories. I was listening to, my mom got me, when I was 14 for Christmas, I got a shortwave radio. A boombox with a shortwave radio in it.
That's cool.
And so I was listening to Radio Moscow for the communist propaganda, but also listening to music.
Amazing.
Weird, weird stuff. Weird, wacky stuff. So you're not...
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, you're not in New York right now. We're going to take a break here in a minute or so, but when you come back, I want you to tell me a little bit more about... it's called Bone to Pick, the podcast that you're on.
Yeah.
And talk about some of the other things that you're doing. And again, reiterating my mistake in not reaching out prior to the festival, because it sounds like it was very successful.
To be fair, it's not your job to reach out to promote other people's stuff. I should have reached out earlier to try to do it. But also, like, I just like coming and hanging out. So, like, you know, I always feel like a little bit of a bummer, like a bum when I go, hey, can I come on to promote? I know that's like the job, but
yeah.
It's also, I was like, that's not the only reason I want to come in and hang and do the show. You know, I just don't want to seem like, you know, I'm just a leech just trying to get stuff all the time. I just like coming in. Even when I was texting Jared, I was like, hey, man, don't even talk about the festival. I just want to come and hang out.
Okay, buddy. Oh, you know.
Okay, bud.
I texted Bert Kreischer the other day. I text him like every 6 months to ask him to come on my podcast or shows. And, of course, I never hear back from him. But I'm just going to keep annoying him until I hear, leave me alone or sure, I'll do it.
He'll eventually need to do it, so.
Yeah, maybe when the podcast goes away and no one's going to see his stuff anymore. But
it'll happen. Not that's no offense to him. It's just that's how the business works.
Very cyclical. All right, we do have to take a break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more. Comedian Michael Albanese. Don't go away. You're listening to the podcast with Tim Andrews on 95.5 WSB. Welcome back to the podcast. Final segment of the show. I'm talking with Michael Albanese, who I believe is in the, what do you call it, the Outer Banks? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. I'm on the beach sipping on a nice ice-cold Arnold Palmer with a little bit of vodka in it.
Yeah.
Having a good time.
So that's iced tea, lemonade, and vodka.
That's the one.
Damn, that's nice. That's a great way to spend a Thursday afternoon. See, you comics.
Is it Thursday already? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, I know. You've forgotten. How many comics did you have at this year's Red Clay Comedy Festival?
Oh, man, I would say close to 70.
70, all right. So that's logistically a huge endeavor on your part, right? You have to house them and feed them?
Yeah, so we put them, a lot of them in the bunk rooms, actually, downstairs. If anyone knows Atlanta, the Claremont Lounge, the basement is all bunk hotel rooms, so it's like four bunks to a room.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we kind of make it like a comedy camp. For whoever wants to stay there, and then a lot of people stay on their own, and then we, you know, put up the headliners in nicer hotels, and Yeah, we just, you know, everything falls apart at the last minute, but we somehow pull together every year.
And Rory Scovel was your headliner this year, right? The biggest.
Yeah, and he did all improvised shows, which is really cool. All stand up, just off the top of his head, no prep. And it was wild. It was so good. Like, guys, when you watch him do stand up, you're like, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Uh huh.
Because like, we're not doing the same art.
Yeah, it's.
You know, I'm finger painting, and he's, you know, he's carving the Michelangelo.
That must have been what makes him such a good actor. He was on a show on Apple called Physical.
And yes, he was so good. Rose Byrne.
Yeah, he and Rose Byrne were both great, but his character, amazing.
Yeah, he's really talented as a dramatic actor too.
Yeah, and then you also did a taping of the podcast you're on, which is where I was trying to go. Talk about Bone to Pick with Robert Kelly and Paul Verzi. Is that how you say it? Verzi or Verzi?
Verzi, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm the third mic on that show, so Bobby and Paul and myself. And it's a show basically where everyone has something to complain about, and so we're going to try to solve your bones.
Okay.
So we have a lot of people call in, they write in, and they send videos in. We call them video bones. And they, you know, complain about big things and little things, like, you know, paper towel dispensers that don't work, or, you know, the faucets, the automatic faucets that never turn on, all the way to, like, you know, my girlfriend keeps bugging me to propose to her, you know, like, so. And then we just kind of figure out how to find a solution for everybody,
right?
Each episode. It's a lot of fun.
And that's just for regular people. Like, you're not having a comic sit there with you the whole time.
No. So we'll have people on. So we've had like Colin Quinn on, we've had Tim Dillon on. So from time to time, like, we'll have somebody that we want on, and we'll have more guests coming up. But yeah, it's mostly just the three of us, mostly them, and then I chime in as we go. I'm like the sidekick, I guess.
When always the
bridesmaid, you know.
Yeah, when you have Tim Dillon on, does he take over the show?
Not really. He's really talented. He's like really good about being in the pocket, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good host, too. He's very good, how do you say the word, monologist. He talks good.
Yeah, he good talker.
He good talking. I can figure out what he's trying to talk about. What are you doing next? Now, you're on vacation, obviously, and a well-deserved one. What do you do next? You go back to New York, get back into the grind? How many nights a week do you do stand-up?
As many as I can, but I have a standing show every Friday night at this barber shop in Queens that me and a couple comics put on, and it's a lot of fun. It's called Comb Over Comedy. So if you're ever in New York on a Friday, you should come check it out. It's a lot. We have put on some of the best comics in New York, and it's, you know, free alcohol. It's a blast.
That is cool. A Comb Over Comedy. So
yeah.
So how big is this place?
It seats like 50, 60 maybe.
Okay. Okay.
It's like a decent sized barber shop, but the barbers are like maniacs, and they're like the coolest dudes ever, and so they just like, yeah, come on in, put on a show, it's a good time.
Do you still work on television projects? For a while you were doing a cooking thing, I remember. You do have a good TikTok, by the way.
Yeah, it's there was like a couple years where I was doing a bunch of pilots for like Food Network and Travel Channel, and then one after another they would like not go, and then they would get bought. I had three projects in a row where we shot the pilot, they bought the series, and then the network got sold, and then the new team came in and just decided and scrapped everything from everybody. Well, that happened three times in a row. Travel Channel once, and Food Network twice. So I haven't really dove back into that, but there's a potential for the fall that I'm going to be working on a project like that. So we'll see. It's something I've always loved to do, but I kind of went through it for a while and wanted to focus on other things.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me from the balcony. Now I think it's time for you to go to the beach and enjoy a couple more drinks.
Yes.
Before we go, where can people find you on social media? Like I said, TikTok and YouTube and your podcast.
Yeah, if you just go to Big Man Mike on Instagram, that's got a link to all my stuff, my website, clips, all that good stuff.
All right, man. Well, thanks again for joining me. And
hey, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And keep in touch, man. And next time you're down, let's get together.
Absolutely. Thanks, buddy.
You can come out and hang out with Gilbert.
I can't wait. The little kid named Gilbert.
That's right.
The best name ever.
I can't disagree. Gilbert is one fantastic name, especially for my awesome little boy. Thank you to my guests this week, comedians Michael Albanese and Mario Adrian. I'll be back next week with another exciting episode of the podcast. Stick around. Coming up at 11, it's The Nightcap with Jared Yamamoto.